Yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. Our goal here is to give you great advice and great frameworks so you enjoy going to work. And one of the challenges every dental office has is running and leading a great team meeting. Some of you don't do it anymore because it's no fun. It's not productive. And it's a waste of time. Well, today, we're going to change that. I bring back Robin Tyson, who's one of our amazing coaches, and she gives us a great framework on 6 steps to leading great team meetings. You have to listen to this. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Our job is to help you, give you some great insight. And we're going to do exactly that today with one of our amazing coaches. But here's what we're going to talk about today. It's this whole idea of having some great team meetings. I know what you're thinking. I used to do team meetings. I don't do them anymore because they're terrible. Well, we're going to change that story in your brain. We're going to give you 6 steps to leading great team meetings with an amazing coach. Her name is Robin Tyson. Robin, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks for having me back. It's always a great time to talk with you.
Robin is brilliant. She is absolutely brilliant. She doesn't give herself enough credit, but like we lean on her for a lot of great information and she just gives it to you straight. And that's what we're going to do today. And this is an important spine in the work that we do. Let's go here first. Before we do the how, let's talk about the why. Robin, why is this important?
I don't know that there's a dental team out there that does not cite communication as one of the biggest challenges. And when you look at how dental offices function, you have people who rarely see each other in a day. You have a fluid schedule, people going in all different directions. So when do you talk or when do you communicate? And so it goes back to the team meeting to make the communication more consistent. And, you know, the better you communicate, the better you function as a team.
Yeah, totally agree. And you can relate this in a family. You could relate it to a sports team. You could do anything. I mean, number one, you got to get aligned. You got to get away from patient-facing activity. And the challenge becomes, if you really make it a priority and you run a great meeting, your team will thank you and you'll be more productive. They'll feel more connected. We all want this thing called culture, but we have to slow down first and be able to connect with people. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And so where do I even start, Robin? What's number one?
Well, the intentionality with it. So a structure to your meetings, right? So we talk about planning out, we've talked a lot about block scheduling, and block scheduling can also be a part of your meeting structure. So where are you blocking your meetings in a week and the different types of meetings that you're having, one of them being your team meeting. So creating the space for those meetings on a consistent basis. We recommend, you know, having it be the same day at the same time each week. And mornings typically work best. It allows you to start on time and end on time. It doesn't interfere as much with patient care. And you get a fresh team that's ready to hit the ground running and make the most of the time you have together.
Yeah, I totally agree. So a couple of things before we even go on to number two is that I've been doing this a long time, 3 decades, and very rarely have I found any dental teams that do it really well at lunch or at the end of the day. And so these are my rules. You don't have to agree, but don't do them during lunch and don't do them at the end of the day and don't do them at the end of the week because your energy is low. It's very low predictability. People fight me on this all the time. They go, no, we do it during lunch. No, you don't because you're late for lunch and then everybody's hangry and now you're just, and they are terrible. And you get 30 minutes in, you cover 2 issues and you're on to the next thing. You do them at the end of the day, you're exhausted. So your energy is low. When you do them at the beginning of the day, you're stressed. Your first thought is I could be prepping teeth right now. Secondly, you're on time, you're focused. Let that work for you. Do it in the morning and make it productive. And you have to do them weekly, don't you think? People say, no, I do them once a month, you know, and we cover a lot of things. Can you speak to that once a month thing?
Well, a month is a long time. All the things that happen, and again, going back to how fluid our schedules are and all the different things that happen in a day in the different departments, once a month is not frequent enough. There's too many things that happen. It's not enough time. It's too long to follow up on things to make sure that we did what we said we would do. So having that weekly consistency and that weekly cadence keeps us all accountable to each other. It keeps the communication intentional. There are so many advantages to doing it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, the advantages are too many to talk about even a podcast. You're fixing so many problems before they happen. You're actually fixing inconsistencies. And now, once you get to a point where it's productive, you're actually fixing things or improving things that aren't even broken. You know, like you're just constant, you get into this pattern of improving things. And doing them once a month is like me saying, yeah, I have dinner with my whole family once a month. It's okay. You know, we kind of find some time. You spend, Mel Robbins just did a podcast on the American Time Study. Don't look at it. It'll depress you. Robin, guess who the number one group of people is that you hang out with the most between 20 and 60? It's really sad.
It's about coworkers.
Coworkers. Yeah. Don't look at the study. It'll just stress you out. But the amount of time you spend with people, it's so important to make sure that that time is well spent and it's proactive. Could you imagine flying with a pilot who didn't do airplane maintenance on the ground? So now I fix everything in the air. You'd go, no, thank you. I'm out of here. So I do like the idea of a structure and agenda and doing it really well and you not doing it all the time. I mean, we got to spread the workload around, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having an agenda for what you're going to accomplish, who's responsible for what, all of those things play into the structure of a team meeting. And it doesn't have to be the leader that drives all of it.
Yeah. One more thing
They do have to be the one that drives that there is a meeting, right? And that it's an important part of our day and we plan time for it. And there's a team element to the agenda and how the meeting flows.
Yeah. One more thing in our work that's really important as coaches is it becomes the fulcrum for how things get done on a weekly basis, because you can't ask people to take work home. You can't take the work home. It's got to be in the confines of the work week. And so it becomes the instrument of change when you're doing the work every single week and you're improving it. That way everybody can go home and feel files closed. Burnout is at an all-time high in dentistry and outside of dentistry. And you can't ask people to do more. And a lot of burnout, while I'm not an expert, is a focus issue. We're spending all this time on stuff that you shouldn't be doing and could have been fixed in the first place with a great team meeting. So that's number one. What's number two, Robin?
So number two is to have an environment of vulnerability trust or vulnerability-based trust within your office. And though we talk about this a lot, and it's not something that happens overnight. It is something that you're intentional about. And so vulnerability-based trust is when the team is open enough and feels confident enough in their coworkers, boss, leaders, all of those types of things, that they will have an opinion or be able to share what that is and know that they'll be supported and or heard. So different from predictive trust, in which is what a lot of teams are used to or what they think that they have when they've developed trust. And that would be an example of that would be today we set up this time for us to get on this podcast and you trusted that I would be here at that time. The vulnerability-based trust would be that I know we can share our feelings and we can share our thoughts about different things together and come up with a consensus and come up with what we agree together.
Yeah. And another piece, I love how you separated those two, because that's a hard one, is the vulnerability-based trust. It's also a predictive, you know, it's a little bit of the behavior too. When you work with somebody and you trust them, you know, because we've worked on this thing called values, that when I bring you a problem, I know how you're going to react for the most part. And you just feel, you feel safe. You feel very safe to say what you want to say. You know that it'll, you can trust people with things that you probably wouldn't share a lot. Now, vulnerability-based trust doesn't mean everyone's crying and sharing everything like that. It could, and it also means that you don't have to have the answers. There's a lot of times where you're like, I don't know the answer to this, you know, and you can trust everybody around you. It is a huge component of just healthy teams And you don't just get it. You have to earn it over time, don't you think?
Absolutely. And as a leader, the best way to start that is to be vulnerable yourself and to show, as leaders, we don't know the answers to everything. We aren't expected to. So being able to be vulnerable yourself and that's a great idea, or I had no idea, I did that wrong, whatever that sounds like, as a leader, to really show your team that you're vulnerable too is the best way, that modeling is the best way to bring that out in others.
Yeah, absolutely. The next thing we have to have, number three, is we got to be able to mine for conflict. What does that mean? Am I just going in and just looking for things to argue about? What does that mean, Robin?
So conflict and confrontation are not the same. And the number of times that I go into a team that they say, oh, we don't have conflict here. We all get along. Everything's great. And to me, my response to that is then somebody's not telling the truth.
Right.
Because I don't know a group of people, family, friends, sports teams like yours. There's not a group of people that everybody agrees on everything. We're not supposed to, right? And the best way to be able to solve problems and to make, you know, take us from good to great or solve that next challenge that's in front of us is to hear from all kinds of people. We all come at it from a different perspective. As a leader, I want to hear what other people have to say. And sometimes we aren't going to agree. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be confrontational.
No, it doesn't have to be confrontational. I love what you're saying. We've said it many times before, like agreement and alignment are not the same things. And right. So I don't always agree, even in the people. I love everybody here. I don't always agree. It doesn't matter. But at the end, we're going to be very focused on being aligned. And I think when you can truly like let people know how you honestly feel. Like one of our team members, her name is Miranda. You've seen her before. She has a little sign on her wall. It's know your truth. And so when you can speak your truth, knowing that people, you can trust people and it's in the best interest of the organization, it becomes very powerful. So people can call you out and go, that's not true. I get called out a lot. I got called out twice today. You know what? You're the problem here. I'm like, oh, that's right. And so conflict is actually really productive and good. And I do worry. You're right. I worry about people that don't have any conflict because they're not talking the truth. And unresolved conflict ultimately becomes a crisis in every situation. So you have to be able to proactively mine for conflict. So it doesn't always mean disagreeing. There are times where you're like, okay, I can already see where this is going to go 3 weeks from now. So I'm mining for conflict organizationally right now and what's going to happen in December, all that kind of stuff. So any other thoughts on conflict?
I feel like it is almost something that teams intentionally avoid. And when you get that vulnerability-based trust and you get better about having the conversations, like you're saying, it's productive. Don't avoid it. Let's really find out what people think. And so you can be productive in the solutions that you put into place. If only half of the people are giving you their opinion and we put a solution in place, it's likely not going to stick or change. We're going to come back to that same problem over and over again.
Yeah. And I'll give you an extra tip here, too. Your meetings should all have data in them because then it moves away from anecdotal or emotional. You can say, let's just look at the data. Here's two data points. What everyone's saying is not correct. And so you don't want to say it like that, but you may, who knows? You feel safe when you start with data first. So it's so good. And what's number four, Rob?
So number four is encourage buy-in and not necessarily consensus. So there's a difference, right? So we talk about the more teams weigh in, the more they buy in. So going back to having everybody or most people having an opinion or having an idea about something doesn't have to lead to consensus. And where doctors don't like conflict, oftentimes it's hard for them to be the one to be the tiebreaker. Ultimately, they're the leader. Right. So there's a leader and somebody's got to make a decision. So having everyone have an opinion is great. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a consensus on an opinion. And I find with leaders that there are situations where consensus is what they're going to go on. And then there are situations where they're going to make a decision. And at the beginning of the conversation, if they can differentiate those two, it helps us to not have to have healthy conflict rather than people getting angry. So if as a leader, I say, I want your opinion on this, and ultimately I'm going to take into consideration what you say, and I'm going to make a decision, then you're laying it out up front. It gives people the space to be able to say what they want to say. And then essentially they know that you're going to make the decision for them.
Absolutely. And I'll give you credit for this one, Robin. In the middle of my team meeting in January, you know, I put this booklet together and it said planning session. And she called me out right in front of everybody. It was awesome. She's like, this really wasn't a planning session because you've already planned with the help of the leadership our priorities. This was I think you said it's more of an alignment session on what we've already planned. And so you're right. There are some moments where, number one, you just got to have somebody like Robin who just says, no, let me share with you my experience of what's happening right now so that we can give really accurate words to it. And then secondly is, I want to go back to what you said, is encouraging buy-in. So when everybody weighs in, they can buy in. So instead of just delivering it, you know, part of what I did in January is like, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Let's talk about the alignment piece and what happens. And so you've got to leave space where people can weigh in on what you've right. decided, if you've decided, or they won't buy in. They'll just see it as a directive from above, and that will be short-sighted. The other thing I would say is consensus is very deadly. It's just dangerous to try to get everybody to think and agree on the same thing. Now, I like the idea of getting everybody aligned on the same thing because, you know, you're not going to get consensus. I have a wife and four kids. We never consensus on anything. Like, no one ever agrees, but we're going to get aligned on whether we're going to go this place or that place to eat. And the same thing applies in your practice. So don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's the leader's job to make some of those hard decisions and tell the team where they're going.
Absolutely. Number five is we got to be able to hold people and ourselves accountable. What does that mean, Robin?
I think this concept is scary to people, the accountability piece. And, you know, I think accountability, first of all, starts with being clear in what we're being accountable to, right? So data would be one of them. Action items, what are we being held accountable to? So being very clear about those things is the first piece of it. And the more we hold people accountable, the less we actually have to do. So in office, you know, I find in dental offices that where they aren't having meetings or there isn't a structure to things, it becomes a free for all and there's never accountability. So then that becomes hard. Once teams and organizations start to see that here's the expectation, you are going to be held accountable to it, the less you have to formally do it because they know what's expected of them and they fall in line themselves.
Yeah.
Right. They follow those expectations. And so there isn't as much of holding people accountable.
Absolutely. And if you've ever listened to this podcast, whenever the word accountable comes into the conversation, I'm like, rawr. It's one of those words that's not very well defined, but I do like this. Accountability starts with accounting. It starts with a structure. So if it's going to be data, that's great. If it's going to be a meeting, that's great. If it's going to be a to-do list or an action item, then it's very, very specific. And we had a coaching call with our coach. Yes, coaches do have a coach. And her name is Jamie. And Jamie shared this with all of our coaches. She works with big time executives. And she said, leadership is three things. It's leading yourself, leading others, and then leading culture. And one of the biggest challenges she has is leaders, big time executives, they don't really want to lead themselves. They want to just lead others and tell others what to do and not show up and not do their part. And I think that's a huge component of this. And those three steps, leading yourself, you know, I know from an accountability standpoint, I got to be on time for these meetings. I got to be ready for these meetings. I can't be late. And mm-hmm. I got to do my part during that whole thing. And when they see the accountability, it multiplies. And so you're right too. Like micromanaging, micromanaging is not a details issue. It's a trust issue. Like, you know, so I think if you've got it outlined really well, and anyone that's ever had accountability with other people, you already know how life changing it is. And it starts with the leader first. So
it does. And similar to conflict, it doesn't have to be a negative. It really just means we all know what's expected and we know we want a predictable outcome. So it doesn't have to be a negative.
I totally agree. So what's number six?
So six is the creating a culture of having one another's back. And you and I were talking a little bit about this earlier. This is a cultural thing, right? So it's creating that culture of knowing what's expected of each other, knowing how we engage with each other, what's important to the practice, and knowing that we all are here. At the end of the day, we're all here to support each other. We're here for our patients to provide them with the greatest experience. And we're all going to hold each other accountable and be have each other's back. If something falls off and we need to redirect, we're all here to help each other. We're all working out for the same goal.
100%. I have a million thoughts. We could turn this into an hour long, but having each other's back is so critical. It goes back to the whole, like, I really enjoy the people I work with. I trust them. You know, one thing to consider is your patient's experience will never exceed your team members' experience in your office. And so when it comes to having time, you can't say to yourself, I don't have time to do this. No, you have plenty of time to do this and showing them, hey, listen, I got it. I don't mind taking out the trash here. I'll do anything here if it frees up time for other people. So that's one piece of it, is like making sure that you have your team members back. The second piece that I think about most often, and that's why we talk about core values so much, is a lot of times everything that's challenging is a values issue, you know, and if you can just always point to, gosh, we're struggling in this area, or this team member needs help. Like, what's our core value? What do our core values say? Hey, that's where we start, and then we can figure out the details. And ultimately, what you want people to do. I shared this week at the Chicago Midwinter. I heard a chairside assistant say this a long time ago, and it's one of my favorite things. I work for an amazing dentist, but she's an even better human being. And I thought to myself, that's one of my favorite things I've ever heard. Now, a couple things tell you about what she said. Number one, it speaks to the character of the person she works for. It also speaks to the behaviors. I mean, every one of us would want that, but we have to earn that. You don't get that. You earn that type of a thing. And that's what having somebody else's back is all about. You can be crazy. You can not even be smart. But if you have people's back, they're like, I'll do anything for that guy. Or that person, right?
Yeah, and that then just infiltrates through your team, right? If you as the leader have everyone's back, that just becomes, that's a cultural piece. It becomes what everybody does, and it becomes a part of who you are.
Yeah,
and the result is fantastic.
Absolutely. I got a seventh question. There's a seventh component. Actually, there's no tip on this, but like, this is a big thing for people to get their brains around. Don't you think, Robin? Like a team meeting. Even the best that we work with are like, yeah, I did team meetings years ago. You know, I don't do team meetings now. Why is this such a big hurdle for so many people? I mean, what's your guess?
My guess, first of all, what I hear most often is time. And it's, we don't have the time to do it. And I would say you don't have the time not to. Right. And I have yet to see a team that has implemented the weekly meeting that say this is a waste of time. They don't like it. They've accomplished nothing. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah.
So it's time well spent. And as a leader, it's where you see the most growth. It's where I have seen the most growth in doctors that I work with, is having this organization and leading the meetings and leading a team, and the growth that comes from that is incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you say. If you're listening to this podcast, think of it like this. If you have a team meeting, I hope it's so good, I could tell a few dental students, go watch how this person does it. And you would be so proud to show them how you do your team meetings. I can guarantee you your practice is crushing it. You're crushing it. That's how important that is. I'll make one more deal with you, because I make this deal a lot with the people we coach. Okay, how many clinical hours are you working? I'm working 32. Okay, what if you give me 2 hours? Okay, we're going to go from 32 to 30 clinical hours in one every week. And the second piece of it is you have to run an amazing meeting. We ask for meeting scores at the end of our meetings. So on Mondays, everybody in the Zoom chat has to rate the meeting. Our traction meeting, which is our leadership meeting, we have to rate it at the end, and it gives you instant feedback. Now, they were actually pretty low scores a while back, but it's instant feedback on how well you're doing. And when you're getting 9s or even high 8s as a result, That means people are screaming that this was a good investment of time. Thus, I can guarantee you your practice is extremely healthy. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh my gosh. Yes. 100%. Like, you know, it makes such a big difference. I have teams all the time that thank me for the time to set aside to do that and just what a difference it's made for their team culture, productivity, all of the above. It's a game changer.
Yeah. I want you to give us some final takeaways, but I'll throw this into the conversation. I think most dentists could do better if they just slowed down, down. And your team will appreciate that they're getting paid. Yes, you do have to pay them. And they're not working on teeth. They'll totally appreciate the fact that my leader cares. And we spend 2 hours a week improving the conditions of the team members for our patients. And you know what? I don't have to be in some patient's mouth for 2 hours a week. How cool is that? And so give us your final takeaways, Robin.
Well, as the leader goes the team. So it's the direction of the leader, the vision of the leader. What do they want? And they, you know, all eyes are on you for how important this is and what kind of culture and what kind of team you want. And so it's something really to consider what you want, how you want the team to be and how you want your future to be with practice.
Absolutely. And you can implement so many changes. If you're listening to the podcast and you're listening this long into this particular podcast, it means you care. It means you do a lot of education, which means you get exposed to a lot of cool stuff and thinking, and you don't always share those thoughts with your team members. And so a team meeting becomes a great opportunity to slowly take people on this thing called stages of change and implement it slowly but surely so that 1 year from now, you go, wow, look, we put all those things into place. And we took our time to do it, and we did it right. So, Robin, thank you so much. I always love having you on here. I really, really appreciate you.
Happy to do it. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going to keep bringing it. And one of the things you guys are going to notice is we have officially launched the BPA, which is the Best Practices Association. And that has been a lifelong dream of ours. And we're just putting together some of the best thinking, best tools, best everything we see. We have our master classes back there. We have our webinars back there. We have our modules back there. We have all of the great videos we've created. We've got tools back there. Everything that you could imagine that you need to run a dental practice, we're putting back there. And we're using them one step at a time. I love this profession so much, and so does my team. We are surrounded by some incredible dental practices and people out there that we're going to keep bringing it with things that improve your practice and improve your life. So don't try to figure this stuff out. It's too long. It's too hard to do all this research. This is all we do. We do this research constantly, all day long, and we're sharing it back in a portal called the Best Practices Association. You're also going to meet other people that are using these tools. You can check it out. It's $99 a month. Below this link, we've had it available for our clients for a while, and we've just started opening it up to the general public. So click on it. Join us back there. Hey, the conversation continues back there. If you want to ask a question, I'll answer it. So come on back and join us in the BPA. And if you're really struggling, you need some help, don't do that. We have a full-time therapist on our team. Her name's Gina. She's awesome. And she will help you. She's amazing. And you can reach out to her at gina@actdental.com. So keep showing up. And until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.